took the family to Chipotle last month, and we go walk in, and I mean, there's already a line. There are other people who are waiting to experience this, and we wait after this long line. We get right up to the counter, we're about to order. And it's kind of like high pressure, high tension when you got the four kids and the wife, and we're all standing there, and you know, you're getting ready, you got your order worked out in your mind, and this guy cuts in line. He gets right in front of me, and then he turns around, and he says, "Hey, man," he says, "the starter's out on my car. Will you buy me a bus ticket to Atlanta?" I'm like, "Man, I'm sorry. I don't have a bus ticket to Atlanta. I don't have cash for that on me." And he said, "Will you buy me a burrito?" And I'm like, "Man, you're good. I mean, I see what you did. You went high and then you went low. I mean, you did. And then you got me in this moment, this high pressure, you know, we're waiting to order. And then my kids are all watching me to see what I'm going to do. You're good. You are good." And so, you know, my kids are watching. And I'm like, "Yeah, man, I'll buy you a burrito." And so he ends up, you know, all the kids start getting through, and I make sure they get through. And then he goes, and he tells me his name is Reed. And then Reed begins to order, and he said he wants a burrito bowl. And Reed starts to get a burrito bowl. And then he tells the lady, when they get, she's like, "What meat do you want?" He said, "I want pinto beans, I want black beans, and I want steak." He said, "And I'll take double steak." My man, come on. I don't even let my wife get double steak. I mean, except on her birthday. On her birthday, she can have double steak. He's like, "Double steak?" I'm like, "All right, bro." We keep going. He's like, "I want some cheese on there and some sour cream and some salsa." You know what I'm watching for. You Chipotle people, you know what I'm watching next. I'm like, "What's he going to do? Is he going to get the guac?" And sure enough, he said, "Give me the guacamole." I was like, "You got to be kidding me. I'm like, they tell us that beggars can't be choosers, but nobody told Reed. I mean, Reed is, he's choosing everything. And we get to the end, he's like, "I want chips, I want a Coke." And at this point, I'm ticked. And we get through, I pay for my whole family. It's probably $12 more with everything Reed got. And he gets his Coke and he turns. And, you know, when we were standing there and we're waiting for my family, you know, we were standing there when my family was ordering. I said, "Reed," I said, "I'm just doing this because I'm a follower of Jesus. I said, I'm just doing it in his name." And then Reed, when he finished up, he said, "Thank you." And so he walks off, and at this point, I'm just kind of ticked. I sit down with the family, and I start to pout. It's a spiritual gift. It really is. The whole family, they're enjoying their burritos, but I'm feeling like I got scammed. I got taken advantage of, you know? So I'm starting to pout a little bit, and then one of the kids did something which really wasn't a big deal, but then I let them have it because it wasn't what they did. It was because I'm mad at Reed, you know? And I felt like I got taken advantage of. Don't judge me. Don't judge me, all right? It's confession. And so we get to the house, and I'm still kind of in a bad mood that night, and wake up the next morning. I'm sitting down to spend some time with the Lord and just kind of processing the day before and start thinking about that. I wasn't real proud at how I handled the whole deal. And so I said, "God, what was that?" I just sensed like what God said to me was, "Kevin, you didn't get scammed. You didn't get scammed. Reed didn't scam you. You scammed Reed. Because you said you did it in Jesus' name. That wasn't in Jesus' name. See, Jesus' name means with his signature. It means with his presence. It means with his love. And you didn't do that in Jesus' name." And then I started to imagine, what would it have been like if I would have done it in Jesus' name? "Hey, Reed, come here. That steak is good. Get you double steak." "And Reed, get all that. We got some sour cream. We got some cheese. And Reed, why don't you get the guacamole? I know it's extra, Reed. Don't worry about it. Get some guacamole. Get double guacamole, Reed. And Reed, get chips and a Coke. And Reed, why don't you come sit down with our family and have dinner with us? Because we'd love to hear your story." What would it have been like if I would have done it in Jesus' name?
Hi everyone, my name is Christy, and I'm the guest speaker for this week. And today we are talking about love, being committed to loving God and loving others. The reason why I'm pre-recording this is because I'm deathly fearful of speaking in front of people. So it's a good thing that my topic isn't on fear this week. Otherwise I would have to be here live sharing with you guys. Today we're talking about love in the series of Believe that we are reading. And one of the key elements in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is love. It dominates God's story from beginning to end. According to Google, the word love is mentioned in the Bible 348 times for the NASV version and 551 times if you're reading the NIV version. So through the stories of the Bible, we learn that God wants us to love him, and then he also wants us to love others. Love begins with God. So we're going to jump right into scripture in Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Moses is speaking to the Israelites, and he says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are on the road, and when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, I don't know about you guys, but in my house, it's the number one statement that I say to my kids is, can we all just get along? Just love one another. Everybody should just show love. See, kids, it's biblical. We need to love God. We need to love one another. So closer to the end of his life, Moses is gathering the Israelites together to remind them of what truly matters. They are about to enter a land filled with people who believed in many gods. This was true then as it is today. There are people who prefer to place their trust in many different values, different belief systems, and different gods. So we must stay grounded in loving the one and only God. And when we love God and stay focused on him, then he fills us up with love so that we can love those around us. So one of the key questions today is, how should we love one another? Well, what does the Bible say about loving others? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 through 12 says, "This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. So while I was preparing this this sermon, that last verse really stuck out to me. But what if we love each other? God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. So what does that look like? Well, last month, our family decided to take a family vacation to Michigan. And prior to leaving, every morning I bring out my Bible, and I read some scripture, and I pray. And prior to our vacation, I prayed that God would give us rest. It was something that we really needed within our family. I really felt like we needed some togetherness, some alone time, and just some rest. But one of the things I also prayed for was that I wanted to I wanted God to show me people that may have needed me. I wanted to see other people. I didn't want to be so self-absorbed in our family vacation that I wasn't seeing other people in need. So on our very first day of our vacation, we decided to go to Mackinac Island, and it was wonderful and beautiful, and the kids wanted to go souvenir shopping. So we go into a toy store, a glorified toy store, which it, like, literally my nerves were like, let's just leave. It was all the toys you could find at Target and Walmart, but extremely overpriced. So I am like letting the kids have fun, letting them look around. And I'm also to the point of where I'm like, okay, let's go. Like, let's just not, you know, let's move on to the other stores. Buy something that says Mackinac Island that you're gonna remember, not a Lego set that you can get at a store. And so I'm like the mother duck, I'm herding my kids, like kind of get out of the door. And then all of a sudden this lady appears, she's coming straight towards me. She's walking towards me and I can visibly see she's crying and she's making eye contact with me. And she, like, literally, it was like a God moment. She just walked right up to me and, you know, I could see that she was crying. So I said to her, you know, is something wrong? Is there something that you need help with? And she said, you know, I just saw somebody that I haven't seen for like 6 months, and it was just a very emotional time for us. And I said, okay, well, do you need anything? Can I help you with anything? And she said, well, yeah, honestly, you could pray for me. And I was like, yeah, okay, perfect. So, I'm like, let me hear your story. Like, what can I pray for you for? And she proceeds to share her story. She is a native on the Mackinac Island. She lives there year round. And 6 months ago, a tree fell on her. She had multiple fractures, multiple skull fractures. She had to have multiple surgeries. She was in rehab for an extensive time. But honestly, she was walking and talking, and to me, she looked like a walking miracle. But she said, I still have really bad headaches. I have brain fog. Sometimes the words just don't come to me. She's like, and I would just really like, you know, God to continue to heal me. So, you know, my kids were still looking at the trinkets, praise God. And, you know, my husband is standing there, and we just gather around her. I put my hands on her shoulder, and I prayed for her right then and there that God would heal her, continue to heal her. And it was just amazing. Afterwards, then she shared about life on Mackinac Island for the whole year round. 6 months of the year when they don't have tourism, they are a very close-knit community, those who stay on the island, and they are providing activities and crafts and movies and just, you know, things for them to be together and continue that relationship with each other. So we got interrupted because one of the cashiers had a question, but I believe that God orchestrated that. And when we love one another, the invisible God reveals himself to others through us, and his love is made complete. I believe that when I asked her story and we prayed for her, that the invisible God was shining through to us and it was visible to her. And I just think that is just a beautiful thing to witness and to see and to experience. So how do we love? What does the Bible say in how we should love others? Well, love has three unique and distinct characteristics that we're going to take a look at. And some of this is review. Some of this, if you're a regular attender at New Day, you've probably heard this before. Excuse me. So number one, there's three things we're going to look at. Unconditional. The ancient Greek form of love is agape, and it means the highest form of love, charity. This word is not to be confused with brotherly love or self-love. It goes beyond regular emotions to seek the best for others. It is an unconditional love that persists regardless of circumstance. Unconditional love is not dependent on love being given back. The old saying, love has to be a two-way street, does not apply here. Many relationships today seem to have more of a contractual character than a caring one. If any expectation or condition is not met, or at least perceived to not be met, the love is withheld. If this is so, is this truly love? So, I mean, let's think about this when we get angry with someone or things aren't happening our way. It's so easy to take that out on somebody and kind of withhold that love. I'm 100% guilty. You get frustrated with kids, you get frustrated with coworkers, you get frustrated with, you know, your neighbors, whoever. It's super easy to, you know, not feel like they're loving you back, and then therefore that love is withheld. So simply put, agape love places no conditions, expectations, or stipulations on the other person for the love to be expressed. It is simply unconditional. Number two, sacrificial. I feel like this one should be pretty self-explanatory if you know the story of Jesus. That's sacrificial love. This love places the other person first. It says, I love you more than I love me. So Pastor Aaron talked about the radio station last month, the WIIFM, you know, the What's in It for Me channel. And 100% I'm guilty of that all the time. I'm always like, well, what's in it for me? Or that's not really good for me. Or that's not really what I was expecting. Or that's not what I had intended for today. Whenever I ask my husband Steve to do something for me, his usual response to me is always, whatever you want. Which is nice, but sometimes it's a little like, makes me feel selfish. So sacrificial love says, you are more important to me than I am to me. It will take a risk by stepping out to show intent, regardless of the other person's response. In the book John, chapter 3, verse 16, a very well-known verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's a pretty huge sacrifice. If you are new to watching us, if you are new to New Day or watching us on Facebook, I mean, if you have questions on who Jesus is, you know, what is his story, salvation, please reach out to us. We would love to share this good story with you. We would love to hear your story. We would love to sit down and just talk and, you know, be loving. Number three, this is a big one, forgiving. So far we have the main things for love: unconditional, sacrificial, and forgiving. So when it comes to relationships with others, we often set each other up for failure by expecting perfection, which is pretty much impossible to attain. Agape love says, "You don't have to be perfect for me to love you and to stay in this relationship with you. In fact, I expect that you will be imperfect, and that's okay. I will forgive you." So this is a pretty big statement, especially with the past year that we've been having. We've just come from a year of a pandemic, politics, and racial tension. And, you know, there's lots of opinions we each have. And again, you love somebody unconditionally based on their opinions, and you love somebody with forgiving if they say something that you don't like, or maybe that you've said something that they don't like. Either way, you know, you have to have that forgiveness in your life. So who have you had conflict with over the last 6 months, over the last year? When I'm speaking, if there's somebody that is resonating with you that you just don't feel at peace with, how is that something that can be corrected in your life? Well, over the last year, with everything going on, one of my words that I reflected on was peace. I just wanted to feel peace in my life. I didn't want to feel the tensions from all the last three things that I had just mentioned. So whenever I felt like I was in conflict or wasn't in peace with something or someone, I brought it to God and I said, "I know that my heart isn't loving towards this person, and I really just need you to forgive me and show me how to love them and move forward." And amazingly, most of the time, it was hands down, within the next 24, 48 hours, I felt peace over that person. I felt like I didn't have that struggle with the relationship. And it was all because I was open and bringing it to God. So forgiveness becomes a lifestyle. God does this with us every single day. Every day, God, you know, you do something wrong. You yell at your kids, or you're in conflict with someone, or, you know, you have road rage. I don't know. Something that doesn't represent the love of Jesus as an outward expression. Every day, if you come to God and you ask him for forgiveness, he gives that to you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." He will purify you from all your unrighteousness if you just bring those to him, if you're feeling like something just isn't at peace with you and your relationship with God. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" Jesus says, infinity. It doesn't matter if somebody wrongs you over and over again, forgive them multiple times. And I know, I get it, guys. It's super difficult to do when somebody just feels like they're hurting you all the time. You know, again, it's very important that we bring that to Jesus and we ask for peace and a way of moving forward. So each day, as we live out our lives, Jesus loves us unconditionally and sacrificially, and he offers ongoing forgiveness. He asks us, his followers, to offer the same in our relationships. Why? This breed of love allows us to be involved in healthy relationships and also to be free to express God's love to the world. So again, we come back to the verse that I reflected on earlier. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. If we love each other unconditionally, if we love each other making sacrifices, and if we love each other forgivingly, then we will be reflecting Jesus shining out through us to others. So we need to turn off the WIIFM channel, focusing less on ourselves, and ask God to help us see others. If you struggle with that, I know for me, when I go to the grocery store, I'm always like, I need to just, I'm in a zone, 100%, hands down. Lots of times I run into people, lots of times I avoid people, because I want to just get in, get my stuff, and get going. But again, if you are like that, if you are in a zone, then I just suggest that, you know, you pray that you would see people like I've been doing, that it wouldn't be so much about me, but it would be about you seeing others who need you. The Apostle Paul sums it up pretty well. We love because he first loved us. And that's 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. So how can you, you know, love others? Well, like we've mentioned here, doing the loving unconditionally, loving sacrificially, forgiving others. You know, you can be involved here at church. You can be involved with the construction days. If there's any landscaping going on, I know that that's giving of time, maybe of resources, whatever, but that's also a way to connect with your fellow New Day people as well. Another thing, I'm going to plug Backyard Mission. I am wearing the shirt. I have been involved with Backyard Mission since the beginning. And this year, I believe the dates are July 28th through August 1st. And it's been amazing the years that we have. We have really connected with people in our community. And honestly, we're not there to just get projects done. I know that the people we serve, that's what they think, that we are there to, you know, landscape and fix their roof. But honestly, we're also there to have a relationship with the people within our community. And guys, it's been unbelievable. The stories that we have seen come out of Backyard Mission, it's been beautiful, and it's definitely been a reflection of Jesus outward to our community. So we have helped people who have already passed away. We have helped people who are sick and are continuing to be sick. We help people who financially are in need, and we help people who can't do these things on their own and they need help. And honestly, it's just such a beautiful thing to go there and watch the story unfold. And then as the years go, we continue these relationships and continue to see where we have imprinted Jesus in their lives. So, okay, I'm going to close us in prayer. Dear Lord, I just pray for the people of New Day and those who are watching this. I pray that you would just be the light that they see, and that they would turn to you and ask for how to love others, again, unconditionally, sacrificially, forgiving. And I just pray that for those whose hearts are burdened today, that they would bring those burdens to you, and that you would set them free. And I pray that as a church, Lord, that we would not be self-absorbed in our own ways, but I pray that we would instead be a church that sees the people in our community, that sees the people who are in need, and not just, you know, offer them $20 here or there, but get to know their story. Get to know their story on a deeper level, and get to pray for them, be with them, and just share the love of Jesus with them. In your name we pray, amen. Go in peace. Have a good week.